Stepdaughter Carmen Blake, Annie Johnson, Linda Martin, sister Mavis C. Nobles, and Jean, I can't pronounce his last name, brother Hal Lee Nobles, 7 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren, 7 grandchildren, 15 step-great-grandchildren. We had a good sized family, and we are here today to try to say a few words that would be comforting to the family. And I've known Brother Nobles a long time. We travel some together, Virginia, Carolinas, Florida. He'd scare me sometime. I'd have to wake him up. And he wouldn't let me drive. But we made it, the Lord blessed us. And he loved the church. I don't believe nobody could love the church no more than he did. He would do things that I probably wouldn't do just to be in church. He'd go off long weekends and come home just in time to get back in the car and go to church somewhere over in here that night. He had a lot of energy. And it wasn't that he was obligated that night. He just wanted to go to church. Now he's in a big church. He's in the biggest church he ever been. That never gets no bigger and it don't get little. He's in heaven itself. Thank God. The Lord has had mercy upon us and sent his Son into this world to save his people from their sins. And I believe he's one of them. I believe Brother Noble was a child of the King. And his spirit and soul has gone back to the one that gave it. He's in heaven where we want to be after a while, and I believe we will be when the Lord comes back. And Sister Nobles told me last night that he went out easy, that he'd been up and got back on the bed. They had to help him, and then he wanted to get back up. And he told him, "I got to pray." Got them all around. He said he prayed a good prayer, thanking God for all his blessings, thanking him for the church, thanking him for the good wife he had. Then he wanted to get back on the bed, and she believes he passed on while they were getting him back on the bed, or he didn't breathe after they got him back on the bed. He died easy. Thank God that he still has mercy upon his people. Let us try to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we stand here before you this day to thank you for the wonderful blessing, wonderful grace, and for the blessing having known Brother Nobles and his family. Oh God, thou have been good to us all our days. And we pray now, Lord, for the family, and especially dear wife and Brother Kermit and the others, that thou will look upon them and have mercy and help them in the days ahead, Lord, and that they never lose hope, that they not be too sad or worried about Brother Noble's. He's all right. And, oh God, we pray that Thou be with them and keep them and bless them that have the things they need here in this life. And not only these, but all that's in the congregation this day. Lord, that Thou would look upon them and have mercy and be with them, Lord, and bless them to know Thee. If there's some here, Lord, that's not following Thee, that they might turn to Thee with whole heart, soul, and mind, that they may find peace and joy here in this life. Heavenly Father, we don't want to worry and be too sad over Brother Noble, but we want to thank God for Thy great mercy that Thou hast taken him home to be with Thee. We pray for these blessings and thank You for all in the name of Thy Son, Jesus, and for our name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We read just a little bit in the 23rd Psalms. Fourth verse says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." In other words, he said, "I walked through." Didn't say he'd stop in there. Walked through the valley of the shadow of death. Brother Noble had been through that, and he'd come out on the other side and went home to be with the Lord. Can't get it no better than that. The Lord been with him all these years and taken care of him and blessed him in his heart to have thoughts on Jesus, always thinking about Jesus, and that same Jesus that give him them thoughts and the love of God in his heart is the same one that's coming back at a while and raise that body out of the ground and take it home to be with Him. And He'll be fashioned like unto the glorious body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I tell you, brethren, that's what I'm waiting for. When the Lord will come back and call and get us out of this world and take us home to be with Him in the glory world. There won't be no more suffering, no more trials and tribulation, no more doctors and hospitals. It's going to all be just right. It'll be perfect. So Brother Noble's done been through the shadow of death, and he's come out on the other side. And Jesus said to them that believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This man has lived one time spiritually when God quickened him and made him alive in the Lord. And he's going to live once again when the Lord comes back. He's going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and he's going to rise up and go home. There ain't a grave or a devil in the world can hold him down. When God speaks, he's going to have to rise up, brother, and go home to be with him in the glory world. Y'all might think I'm hollering too loud here, but I tell you, I get happy sometime preaching a funeral. It don't matter with me if it's a funeral or not. I tell you, brother, when the Lord's with you, you feel good. You want to raise, you want to shout the voice of the Son of God that He's my Savior, He's your Savior, and He's coming back after a while. Y'all are sad and lonely and be lonely for a few days, but don't let it get you down. Look to Jesus, the same one that the old daddy and husband looked to all these years. I tell you, I don't believe he ever lost faith in God, and don't you lose it either. You just keep your faith in the Lord, and He'll come back and get you out a while, and you might find the same joy and the peace that He's had here in this life. I believe Brother Noble enjoyed living. He enjoyed it. He enjoyed life. He enjoyed the church of living God. He enjoyed people coming to see him and sit down and talk with him. I spent the night several times in their homes and enjoyed it every time. Or him and Sarah would argue every once in a while, but that didn't matter. Brother Noble sometimes said, "I'd just like to get her going." And he did. But that was all right. He didn't mean nothing by it. He was just having a little fun in his old days. Thank God for a brother like him. We need more like him. Thank God for you, family, and may God be with you throughout your days. And thank you.
The Lord has been so good to me. I want to sing His praise. I want to glorify His name. All my remaining days, the Lord has been so good to me. I will on Him depend. show my love this way. I want to live His banner up, each pair or cloud we pay. The Lord has been so good to me, I will own Him his and every day, wherever I be, I would His truth defend. I want to meet, go with His saints, while here on earth I stay, and meet them on the golden shore, on that eternal day. The Lord has been so good to me, I will own Him even, and every day, wherever I be, I would His truth defend. And in the land of endless bliss, where all the praise is thine, some humble place at thy dear feet, may this poor sinner find. The Lord has been so good to me, I will own Him even, and every day, wherever I be, I would His truth defend.
Last year, I was visiting Brother Rupert in the hospital down in Gainesville, and he told me that he had already made his arrangements, his plans. He had pretty well planned those things out in his final days that would come, and this is the day that he talked about, that he wanted me to be a part of it in his arrangements for the services. I humbly thanked him the best way I knew how, and I told him I'd do what the best I could to do what the Lord would have me to do and say. And I'm thankful that I have known him. I've known him nearly 15 years, I believe. And there's a lot of things I could say, but take the rest of the afternoon, and I've only known him just a short period of time of his life. And that's saying a lot, the things that I know about him. He spent the night with my wife and I when we were having an annual meeting down in Shiloh in Perry. And really enjoyed meeting, enjoyed his preaching, and since I had the privilege of marrying he and my sister, that was about 10 years ago, I really got to know him a lot better than probably maybe some people would. But one of the things that always impressed me about him was he knew what his job was as a preacher, if you call it a job, and he knew what the job was for the church. And he felt like that he knew that the responsibilities of each one had each one to point toward our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last night, and I've thought off and on ever since he mentioned to me that he would like me to have part in the service, what would I say about him, and what would be some of the things that maybe would be appropriate. And I kept coming to the fact that he was a preacher, and that any preacher has the same responsibility to follow what the leadership of the Lord is for their life, to be obedient to what the gospel says, to preach the word of truth, preach it, be able to preach in season, out of season, when you're called on, to be able to teach and preach it as the Spirit moves you to do that. And the scripture, I wanted to read just a few scriptures and not take a lot of time. Brother Rupert was always concerned about noontime. A lot of time he was put up to be last, and I think that's for a reason, because they knew at lunchtime he'd quit. But he would say, it's time to eat, you know. And he of course, sometimes he would go a little longer than what you expected. But the last time he preached at Shiloh was about a little over a month ago. He stood just a few minutes. He was able to come up in the stand, preach a few minutes, and sat back down. The Lord blessed him to have the strength that he needed to be able to speak with a volume and to recall what he needed to be able to talk. He got through. He sat down. The Lord had blessed us. We always love to hear him preach. He was a good preacher. The Lord blessed him. But in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 11, Isaiah says, "The vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed." You know, when the Word of God is sealed to somebody, nobody can open it. But when the Lord blesses to be able to see the revelation of what God has given, to be able to understand what it is, and then have the ability to preach according to what God's Word says, and how that God would have him to deliver it, and then God bless the person to be able to hear according to what he would have him understand. That's the joy of being able to proclaim God's Word. You know, a preacher is a proclaimer. He's a proclaim what God has given him, not what he can come up with is in his mind. Most anybody can speak that has a way of communicating, but only God is the one that can make the voice and the Word and the Holy Spirit match what he says. When you hear through the Spirit, than you have heard. But in Revelation chapter 5, starting in verse 5, I will read just a little bit there what our Jesus was about. And the prophet John in Revelation says, starting in verse 5, and he says, "One of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." You know, Jesus, he came as the Lion to defeat Satan. And then he came as a lamb to be offered for those that he died for. And he did exactly what God had sent him to do. And he says, "And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits God sent forth into all the earth." There's a lot to be said about those seven spirits, and the time wouldn't permit all that could be said about all of God's Word. But those seven spirits, Jesus Christ is ahead of that. And I believe that those spirits, being symbolic of the seven candlesticks and the seven churches and all the things that you can look at, the seven being a perfect number, the complete number, that brings us to God, that brings us together, joins us together, marries us as a church, marries us as God's children to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that we are able to hear him when he's blessed us to be able to know that there is something that we can hear and understand. In verse 7 he says, "And he came and took the book out of his right hand of him that sat upon the throne." The one that sat upon the throne. He said, let me go back and read 6. He said, "I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, as having been slain." He saw the vision. I believe Brother Rupert saw the vision of preaching. I believe that he saw the hand of God on him as he spoke. I believe that he saw the hands on those in this Elder Hatfield here and many others, or maybe Brother Kermit, that he placed his hands on. He had seen where the God had given them a special unction, a special way of being able to feel the Holy Spirit as they preached the gospel to his children. Not for gain, not for self-exaltation, but because God had blessed them to be called out to be at the service of the church and those that they were called to serve. Then he says, "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." You know, he didn't take it as he would snatch something out of somebody. It was handed to him, and he took it. I'm talking about the Son of God. And if a man preaches the Word of God, if he preaches, it's because the Holy Spirit handed it to him. It wasn't something he conjured up or something he stole or took out. It was because God had given it to him. He says, "And when he had taken the book, and the four beasts and the four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred and every tongue and every people in the nation." You know, we hear in our in our world of news and the things that we hear every day. We hear various ones want to identify American, or Spanish American, or French American, or whatever you are. But we can't do that in the family of God. If we're God's child, we are God's child, and there is no dash religion or dash something else. It's only God, and it's only by His revealed Spirit that we are able to know that we have been loved by Him and had received the blood that He gave us through that He shed, that we could have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And I want to close in my reading here in Luke chapter 4. I want to read just a little bit in this scripture and read what it says about what Jesus went through after He had already been tempted. He had already faced Satan. He had already become victorious against Satan when He tempted Him, the temptations that He placed on Him. And then after He got through, the Lord puts us through tests. The Lord puts us through things sometimes. It seems like I can't bear to go through it. The death of Brother Rupert, some of you may feel like it's the worst thing in the world that ever happened to you. But yet, God gives through His grace and His mercy, a new day, a better day, a newness that comes with it. And Sarah, I know that there'll be times that you have mentioned that there'll be some downtime coming. There'll be many downtime coming, but praise the Lord, there is many uptime coming that one that He will be there to meet you with. But in chapter 4 of Luke, starting at verse 18, Jesus is reading from the scripture that they were handed to Him. They handed Him the book. He goes into the synagogue, and he's there to worship. And they call the church structure that they had in there. They handed Him the book of Isaiah, and he starts reading. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." I can just in my mind see Brother Rupert going around visiting the various churches, and people looking forward to seeing him coming, or perhaps going to a funeral, or maybe conducting a wedding, or the ordination services for a deacon or for a pastor, for a minister. Those things that he looked forward to doing, he looked forward to going to the various places to where he could go in and out and speak a word of encouragement. He never refused to pray. He never refused to preach. When he was called on, I feel like the Lord blessed him to be able to do that, but he was willing to do that. He was willing to step forth is what he was called to do. Then he says in verse 19, he says, and he's quoting Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And when he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," and if a preacher can preach the Word of God, it's because the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and that's how he is able to preach those words. And he says, verse 19, he says, "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book and gave it again to the ministers and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. When Brother Rupert started out preaching, I think it was 1954, is that somewhere around there, 1954, I was already 12 years old. So he was preaching when I was 12 years old, and he had all that time to be seasoned in what he preached, understanding of what he heard, and listen to other preachers, and seeing it lived out in his life, and seeing it lived out in the lives of those he loved, his family, his friends, and then coming to this point to where he could look back at the time and the prayer that he offered up. I didn't realize that he had prayed like that, but to know that he felt satisfied that he had fulfilled what he had been called to do. And I thought last night as I was thinking about some things, how if I could think of something that maybe he had told me that would be encouraging to somebody. And I thought about my sister Sarah, that she loved to cook. She loved to be able to fix food. She still loves to cook. She cooks good if you've never had any food. And he would brag about her quail, how good she could cook quail. And I thought last night, he would have been a good Jew and enjoyed himself out in that desert when God blessed them with all them quail. But then I thought, no, that wouldn't work because he loved pork too good to be there. So anyway, that was Brother Rupert. He enjoyed a good laugh, but he was a serious man, and I'm thankful that I had the privilege to know him. And may God bless y'all.
Rock of ages, well for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Sisters, Sister Emma Jean and Sister Mary. Sister Emma Jean wrote, "He always teased his brothers and sisters about. Mother says he was the prettiest baby." And said that my cooking was like Mama's. I remember one time, if you're part of personal references in conjunction with that, my father-in-law told my better half, said, "You cook like your mother does." And here she says that my cooking was the best. Was like mother's. Then Sister Mary wrote, "I remember Rupert as a person who kept a cool head and came up with the right solution during a family crisis." That speaks well of this beloved brother, that he kept a cool head and came up with a solution during a family crisis. In conjunction with what Brother Wesley made mention of and Brother Rupert praying there in the hospital room, I received the information concerning that prayer and how that he wanted the family members there to gather around. He wanted to pray. And he prayed to the Lord that if the Lord had something for him to do, he'd give him the strength to do it, and he'd be willing to do it. Sometimes, you know, the Lord tells us to do something, and we kind of like old Brother Jonah, we want to go our own way. And when we go our own way, we end up in trouble. And then in closing, he said, "If there's nothing for me to do, I want you to take me home." Sometimes I get emotional, and it's from the standpoint that I won't get to enjoy his fellowship anymore here in this life. I wouldn't have him back in body afflictions for anything. I don't think these family members would want him back in body afflictions. A lot of you know and some don't. Brother Rupert was my pastor for about 12 years. And one thing that he contended for, and it impressed me, and it was scripture. was that he was not to seek to please men. For if he did, the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 1 and 10, if I seek to please men, I cease to be the servant of the Lord. Brother Rupert certainly didn't want to cease to be the servant of the Lord. He had a burning desire to serve God here in this life. And he was willing also to follow the Apostle Peter's teachings in 1 Peter 5, that a minister is not to lord over God's heritage. The church is a sovereign body. And when you ordain a brother to the office of a minister, it doesn't put him in a place to lord over God's heritage or to dictate to them. And Brother Rupert certainly didn't do that the 12 years he was my pastor. And I've never heard anyone say that he did do that. In fact, I pastored churches. He pastored in his early days of his ministry now. And he certainly didn't do that. He wanted to follow the teachings of God's Word, serve God's people. And when I say pastor, he was a pastor. A pastor is not someone that just shows up on Sunday morning or Saturday morning on a conference day, beloved. A pastor is someone that visits the flock, sees about the flock, cares about the flock, manifests his love for the flock, and Brother Rupert certainly done that. And he was not ashamed, as the Apostle Paul writes to his son in the ministry. And if you'll pardon the personal references again, a few years ago I was going through a personal situation, and Brother Rupert called one of the deacons, one of the churches I pastor, and he said, "What you doing to my boy?" He said, "What do you mean, Brother Rupert?" I said, "What are you doing to my boy?" Brother Rupert was the type of person he loved to come straight to the point, you know. Let's don't beat around the bush. Let's just get right there to it. "What are you doing to my boy?" "Well, what are you talking about, Brother Rupert? I ain't done nothing to Brother Kermit." "I ain't talking about Kermit." Brother Rupert's kind of plain sometimes. "I ain't talking about Kermit. I'm talking about Willie. I ain't done nothing to him either." They got the discussion over with. But he was not ashamed of the Lord. He was not ashamed of the gospel. What he taught, what he preached, what some of these other brethren preach, his son, youngest son preach, not very popular today. But Paul writes to that young preacher in his first second epistle, verse 7 and 8 of the first chapter, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, nor me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel." Be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Rupert Nobles was not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as he had the strength, and Brother Tommy mentioned about how he came a month or so before he there to the church at Perry where he serves, and how that Brother Rupert came and for a short time preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ once again. He wasn't ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And neither should we be ashamed of it. We should be likened unto him, and as Jude said in chapter 1, verse 3. Jude gives us some wonderful admonition that we all need. Something that we need to be aware of, and something that we need to do here in this life. This beloved brother, I know we just have the earthly tabernacle before us, and I fully believe in my heart that when death came, that the spirit and soul ascended back to God that giveth it in heaven immortal glory. And it's there now, waiting the morning of the resurrection when the Lord Jesus Christ will come in all of his power and all of his glory. I believe that. But we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You know, this modern age we're living in today amazes me. I don't know about you, but it amazes me. These computers and things. And when I was in the analytical lab, we had several machines, x-ray machines and such, and computers controlled them. It told microprocessors inside x-ray machines what to do, you know. And I sat there just amazed at them. I had about five or six different systems. Got one in my study at home. And I can get on that thing, and in just a few moments of time, I can tell you how many, you got a word that's in the scripture, and in just a few moments of time, I can tell you how many times it's mentioned in God's word. It's got it there. Now, I can't remember like that. I'm amazed at some brethren that they seem to have a memory is like a computer, you know. But the main thing about it, it doesn't matter where he can recite a lot of scriptures or not. If he preaches the gospel through the unction of the Spirit of the Lord, he will receive a blessing from God. And this brother, he sought, desired to serve his Lord while he lived here in this world. I can remember when I was liberated to the ministry. Right after that, he and Sister Kelly invited I and my family to go with him over into the Upatoa Association. Never been over in that part of the Lord's kingdom here in this world. Enjoyed it. It rained on us from the time we left home till we got back. I mean, it rained heavy. But he didn't go to sleep that time, Brother Wilson. He didn't go to sleep that time. And we enjoyed ourselves greatly. I thank the good Lord for the memories. I could stand here and talk to you the rest of the afternoon about Brother Rupert. The times we had together and the wonderful fellowship that I enjoyed with him. But some things, as said, all things are lawful and not expedient. It would be expedient. We've been requested to keep it very reasonable in time, and I certainly concur with that. I agree with that. The family has requested that visiting ministers be given a minute or two to say something about Brother Rupert, and if they will, I'll come forward one time and take a couple of minutes if you'd like to say something about Brother Rupert. Feel free to do so.
It was kind of mentioned, but just kind of skipped over. There's one thing that Brother Rupert liked to do, and that was eat. He was real fond of it. But I'd like to say this, make it real brief and short. I was blessed to be able to say it a lot of times in his presence. Paul gave instruction to those that lived as he did to mark them and to use them for examples. Right here lays an example. We'd all do well to mark him in our memory and to walk as he did. Thank you.
Brother Tommy said that Brother Rupert was preaching when he was 12 years old. He was preaching when I was 12 years old, too. The first time I ever remember enjoying preaching, I was sitting in the fourth bench back on the right-hand side at Oakwood Church in Knoxville, Tennessee, and Brother Rupert was in the stand doing it. I don't know why, other than that's when the Lord blessed me to first hear the gospel preached, even though I'd been coming there for years and years. But from that time on, I always felt I had a special connection with him. I always enjoyed him. When he was coming to town, we'd make special effort. I'd take off work. I'd work night shift. That way I could get to church in the morning and stay all day with him. When I first felt a call to speak, I began preaching, and Brother Rupert was the first individual by my side. And when the church called for my ordination about 6 or 7 years ago, Brother Rupert came all the way from Florida to preach a charge to me. He stayed with my granddad so many times through the years, and my uncle has come with me today. I looked up to my granddad more than anybody I've ever known, but I guess next to that was probably Brother Rupert. A lot of the folks that are here today, a lot of the elders, I would have never met you had I not been just going to Florida to see him. It just happened to coincide with some church meetings. And we really enjoyed that as well. The time we got to spend in his home, the time we got to be in church meetings together. I'd drive over to North Carolina because even in his 90s, he would be up in North Carolina going to a 3-day meeting preaching for him. I'd drive over there just to get to hang out with him for a day. That might not sound like New Age language for somebody his age. I'd drive over to North Carolina just to hang out with Brother Rupert for a day and just to get to enjoy being and meeting with him. And as Brother H.D. said, he was an example to us, and he was an inspiration to me. And the thought just crossed my mind the other day. I was driving back from South Carolina. He taught us to travel, too. I was driving back from South Carolina to Tennessee. And when I heard that Brother Rupert went on to be with the Lord, I thanked the Lord. And my wife said, "You can cry. It's okay. I won't judge you." And I thanked the Lord for the times I've been able to know him and for the times I've been able to hear him preach. And when the Lord blessed that man to preach, it was just like no other that I've ever heard in my life. I just really enjoyed it. And the thought crossed my mind as we were heading back. If all our Primitive Baptist brethren had the zeal that this man had, even in his old days, just imagine what our churches would be like. God bless you, my prayer.
I count it a special honor and privilege to have known this man. He's my father in the ministry. For over 20 years, I've known him, and my life has been, other than my father and grandfather, a couple of people that picked up where they left off. He took me under his wing, counseled with me, expounded on the scriptures more perfectly I could understand. He called me, come spend a night in our home. He loved for Kathleen to fix breakfast, little biscuits and country ham. Thanks, Sister Sarah, slowed him down on that a little bit. But he is a man of God. He preached the whole counsel of God. He didn't leave out the children. He didn't leave out the older women, older men, the young brethren. He was instant season, out of season, and he never took credit for himself. He gave it all to God. I've heard him so many times say, you know, pray for me. Unless he gives me spirit to preach, it won't be no preaching done. But one of the things that stayed with me is when he told me his experience when he's in his early 20s and the Lord spoke to him during the night. And how that he developed that zeal of God and how he laid hold on these things and he held them firm. Sought out the old paths and when he found them, he walked therein. He didn't put things off. That following Sunday, he went and offered himself to the church. I love him. We all going to miss him. But thanks be to God, he's where we all hope to be someday. And he remained faithful. He could say, as Timothy said, he's fought a good fight. He's finished his course. Henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, not for me only, but for all those that love his appearing. And he manifested that love. He was a peacemaker. He was a leader. He was a family man, one that cared about his family very deeply. And I know you're going to miss him. But God will be, he's faithful. He's one that keeps his promises, and he's promised to never leave us or never forsake us. And God bless you.
Brother Hatfield said it'd be all right if I said something else. I'm not trying to do a rerun. But many things we talked about, I learned about the grandson in Germany, and I learned about a lot of things, a lot of different ones of you, because he enjoyed talking about his family. He loved them. But what, if you serve in the military, been away from home, there's kind of a special feeling that you get, maybe that somebody else don't understand. But being away from home, being away from family, especially when you have small children, is a very precious time. And he often talked about that. If you heard him speak, you may have heard him talk about when he was in Japan in the occupational forces after World War II. And he said he had opportunity for promotion, and they would move his wife and family over there and get a maid and all these things, just make it sound glorious. And if you were in the service, you know, it sounds a lot better sometimes than it is, and I think that's what was happening with him. But he said that he had prayed that if the Lord would bless him to get back to his two little boys, he'd serve him any way he could. He told him, he said, I've got two sons that I got to get back and help my wife raise. And he meant that, and he loved y'all, and the Lord blessed him to be able to come back, and I believe he stuck to that promise. And I think he will, and I hope and pray the Lord comforts you with these things that have been said today. God bless you.
Any other brothers have any comments you'd like to make? If not, we'll turn it back over to Brother Joe.
Thank you, please.
The Apostle Paul said, in this life only we have hope, we of all men most miserable. As been stated by these brethren this morning, this afternoon, in reference to Brother Rupert, all of us have our own memories of Brother Rupert and his ministry. And Brother Rupert is of that generation where most of the men that of his age and that was in the church have already passed on. I've often said that Brother Rupert was one of the most blessed men I've ever known, for his blessings and being able to enjoy the measure of health he had for all of these years, to be able to speak so clearly and with such force and power, and to be able to have eyes that could read far better than many of us who are younger in the ministry, and to have excellent recall ability. I've been knowing Brother Rupert for 40 years. I've been in the church that long. And over the course of those years, Brother Rupert, from time to time, would come to me and would speak to me words of much encouragement, to encourage me in my ministry and to encourage me in my labor, of which I greatly appreciated and thank God for that. Certainly, we know that this is not the end of life. Brother Rupert has fallen asleep in the Lord, to one day to go home to be with him. We thank God that there is a resurrection. I've heard him preach it many, many times, that there is a land better than the land in which we now dwell. We're thankful that he was blessed to enjoy those many years upon the earth and to have such a wonderful and glorious blessing that he enjoyed in the church. He was indeed, as been stated, one of the most faithful men you'll find in church attendance, and being able to go to the house of the Lord. Certainly, we will miss him, and we thank God that he is now with the God whom he has served and preached and worshipped faithfully for all of these many years.
Brother Nobles was also my pastor for several years. We appreciated him, loved him, appreciate what he stood for. But in order, hopefully, to comfort you a few minutes, I think about him, and I want you to think about him as not leaving you, think about him as going home. I don't know where you have. I'm sure most of you have, but I have, and spent the night a lot of times off from home in motels. And no matter how nice they was, there was a desire to get back home. And me and my wife enjoyed being off a few times, spending the night. One night we stayed in a motel, and the fella asked us if we wanted a non-smoking room or a smoking room. We didn't either want to smoke. I said, it don't really matter. Well, he gave us a smoking room. We couldn't sleep. And I think about it, Elder Noble stayed in this old sinful world near about 95 years. Think about how good it was to get out of that motel and get back to my home. Brother Noble stayed away from home nearly 95 years. He's just gone home now. Well, you think about him in that way, he's just gone home. That's by a soul and spirit already back up down there in the hands of Almighty God. And Job said a long time ago, if I wait, the grave is mine house. But the noble's body will wait here until that resurrection day. And then that body will be reunited with that soul and spirit, taken home. The body will be there with him then at that time with the Lord. So think about him, as Job said again, if a man die, shall he live again? He said, all the appointed days of my time will I wait till my change comes. Thou wilt call, and I will answer. When the Lord calls, once again from heaven, this body will be raised, be fashioned like unto his glorious body, and then we'll be satisfied. I've rode with Brother Noble several times, and I like Brother Wesley. A time or two I had to wake him up, keep him from running into the automobile ahead of us. We enjoyed being together, and I think of the world of him today as I did then, and I'm sure he's at rest. He's never been perfectly satisfied in this world. Me and you haven't. But that soul and spirit is all be satisfied when the Lord calls home from the grave. We'll be satisfied. One person said, the preacher said, I got 40 acres. If anybody here is perfectly satisfied, you have my deed to the 40 acres. One come up and said, I want your deed. He said, no, if you was perfectly satisfied, you wouldn't want my deed. So Brother Noble's and us never been perfectly satisfied here, but at that day, we'll all be satisfied. He'll bow with us, we'll try to pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We look to thee this day, O Lord, and beg for thy mercy to be extended to this family, that they might be at rest, knowing that their loved one is at home with thee. Oh God, have mercy upon these young people that's here today. We're living in a dangerous world. Oh God, we know that the king's hand is in the king's heart is in thy hand. Let it be that thou would bless these young ones around, that take up their cross and us grow ones too, and follow thee in precept and example. O Lord, bless us all, that we might remember wherever help comes from. We ask these and all blessings in the name of our Son, Jesus Christ. And amen.
Senator, on behalf of the President of the United States, I'd like to send this flag to you, to remember by your husband, Christ.